Owen, Parker, Eli, parents, family and friends, all who have had a part in encouraging these young men in their ongoing instruction in the Christian faith. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The prospect of death often makes people afraid. And so we build hospitals, we have stay-at-home orders, we have doctors and nurses, all kinds of things to prevent death, to keep us from dying because we would rather live. We would rather stick with and have the things that we know and are familiar with than to pass from this life and to die and to leave it all behind. All the things that we have worked for and labored to earn and to keep and to get, the people that we have known and to pass. So many people fear death and want to avoid it. But we have an example here in our second reading, the account of Pentecost, which is the festival that we celebrate today, of people who are not afraid of death. And we will also see how this is connected to confirmation, where these confirmands have prepared to make a pledge that they are not afraid of death either, that they would rather have Jesus and his word and the confession of his name, this confession of his name, than to even have life. They're willing to give up life for the sake of continuing to confess and believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one who has paid for their sins. But first, let's jump in and look at our reading from Pentecost and see why the apostles there can not be afraid of death. Why they are willing to give up everything for the sake of the gospel. So the day of Pentecost had arrived. Pentecost was not a new thing that the Christian church invented. Pentecost was a festival that was around from the Old Testament. God had instituted it and he had commanded that every Hebrew man participate in the Pentecost celebration in this festival. It was one of three festivals that every Hebrew man was required to participate in, and you had to go to Jerusalem for it. One of the other festivals that they had to celebrate was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which included the Passover. Now, why are all those details important? After all, we don't celebrate those things as such in the same way that they did. We are not required to. Why are those details important? Well, it's important for understanding what the apostles were facing that day as they were gathered together in one place on that day of Pentecost. You see, the same crowd that was there gathered at Pentecost was probably the same crowd that was there 50 days before at the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of the Passover. And that was the same crowd then, in large part, that called for Jesus' crucifixion. Same crowd that the priests were able to rile up into a mob that called for the crucifixion of Jesus and wanted a murderer to be released to them. That same crowd that was willing to crucify an innocent man and kill Jesus, call for his death, that is here gathered at Pentecost. And if that same crowd was willing to say, we want to stop Jesus and his movement, then they're probably willing to say the same thing 50 days later to those who followed Jesus, who were not crucified along with him, especially the 11 who are still around, who were the closest to Jesus. Certainly they want to get rid of them too, especially if they're standing up and preaching to the crowds. And so you might expect that the apostles would say, well, you know, the Feast of Pentecost is actually a good day to get out of town because those people are coming back. Or if we're going to stay, we're going to stay in hiding and we're not going to show our faces. Well, they did stay. They didn't run. Because Jesus had commanded them to stay and wait for the promised Holy Spirit. So they stuck around. And remember, these are the same apostles who were so scared 50 days before, a little more than 50 days, that when Jesus was arrested, they ran. They didn't stick around. This is the same Peter that was so afraid to be associated with Jesus that he denied that he knew Jesus. He didn't have the guts to say to a servant girl that he knew Jesus. And these are the same apostles who, after Jesus' crucifixion, are in a locked room. Not hiding from the coronavirus, but hiding from the Jews. They're afraid that they might be harmed, that they might be next after Jesus. But these disciples, who had lived in fear, are there gathered on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. There's a mighty rushing wind, there are tongues of fire, and they speak in other languages. The languages of people who are gathered there from all over the known world, who are Jews, who have lived in other areas and now speak different languages. And these disciples are able to speak in those other languages. And the others hear, and they start to crowd around and to wonder. Some are amazed. Some think they're drunk and make fun of them. But this does not make Peter afraid, or the other apostles. Peter stands up, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, boldly confesses Jesus to this crowd. And what's more, he's not even afraid to point out to them that they are responsible, in part, for the crucifixion of the Son of God, of the Messiah, the one that they've been waiting for, that has been promised in the Old Testament. This one, whom all of these festivals and sacrifices point forward to, is the one that they crucified. Peter is not afraid to call them to repentance for their sin and for being complicit in the death of the Son of God. Even though this same Peter was too afraid to be associated with Jesus a little more than 50 days ago. Because by the power of the Holy Spirit, he is given the courage to declare Jesus to these people who potentially could call for his crucifixion just like Jesus' crucifixion. But Peter is not afraid of death. He is not afraid to give up his life now by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is willing to boldly proclaim Jesus to these people. And you see the same courage from other apostles who are not afraid of death as you read on in the book of Acts. You see the apostles arrested, put in prison. You see them beaten. You see Stephen, one of the disciples, stoned to death. Again, by a sort of mob. And then you see James, arrested and executed. You see Paul going and persecuting the church. But in spite of all of the opposition that they have, they are not afraid to die. They are not afraid to suffer for the name of Christ. And why is that? After all, they're willing to give up all of this for someone who died like a criminal on a cross and then supposedly rose from the dead on the third day. Well, they had a hard time believing the resurrection at first, too, when they heard the testimony of the women. But they saw the resurrected Christ, saw that he had indeed risen from the dead. Jesus spoke peace to them. Jesus called them to declare his word to the nations and then gives them the Holy Spirit. And they knew, again by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus had paid for their sins on the cross. and by rising again on the third day, said that all of their sins were totally and completely paid for. There was nothing left. And that just as Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, so too they would rise on the last day, body and soul. They look forward to eternal life because Jesus lives. And so even though they should die, even though they should meet death, they can say, there is something far better awaiting me. They could say with the Apostle Paul, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is not just okay, is not just passable, but the Apostle Paul says, to die is gain. Because in Christ, a person who has been buried with Christ in baptism and raised to new life in him, who remains in his church connected to the vine, receiving his body and blood and his word, continuing to confess his name, this person is a Christian who does not need to be afraid of death. This person can meet death head on, just like Peter and the other apostles did, and can say, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, because my Savior has paid the price for my sins, and he has far better things in store for me. This takes a great deal of faith. To say that what is before you, this world that you know, the people that you love, the things that you are familiar with, that you're willing to give all of this up for the sake of Jesus, and that what he has is far better. And our confirmands today prepare to make that same promise. They will say in the confirmation rite that they promise to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death. They'd rather die, they're going to say, rather than to not live according to the word of God, rather than to not be true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death. And then they will say later that they will continue steadfast in this confession in church and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it. In other words, it would be better to die than to fall away from the Christian church and this confession of the Christian faith. Because this is the confession of who Jesus is, of what he's done for us. Because here we find the confession that Jesus has freely paid for our sins, that there is nothing that we can do to earn God's forgiveness. That though we are separated from God by our sins have been paid for by Jesus, and we have eternal life. They are willing to say, just like Christians have said throughout history, I would rather die than give up this confession and this church. I would rather die than not live according to the word of God. I'm willing to give up everything else then too in my life. I'd rather give up my activities and my friends, even my family. I'm willing to give up all of those things, if necessary, for the sake of Jesus. I would rather be faithful to him and follow his word, even if it means that others do not like it, that others despise me, that I have to give up certain activities and practices and ways of doing things that are popular and common in the world. We need not fear death as Christians because we have already died with Christ in baptism. We've been buried with him there, and we've been raised to new life. And we have a far better life awaiting us because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Because he has died for us to pay for our sins. He has risen for us to give us new life. In this hope we rest, no matter what problems we're facing, whatever diseases, whatever sickness, whatever violence and mobs there are in the world. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.